a lot of people go to yoga, as I'm learning, as a last resort. They are just at the end and they're just fed up with everything and they're trying it because they don't think they can do anything else. Mm-hmm. And they said that a lot in that first week. And they said, be aware of a lot of people. This is it for them.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thank you for stopping by and checking out this week's Addicted to Fitness podcast. We really appreciate you guys listening. We want you to keep rating and reviewing the podcast just like you're doing, but we really would really love it if you share the podcast also. Really, really love it. I'm emphatic about that. I love that people share the podcast. That's what I really, what I'm hoping for, you know? Ratings are great. Reviews are great. But I want people to be sharing it. Of course I'm enthusiastic. Got to have a little, you know, a little enthusiasm.
Really,
never hurt anybody.
Really great.
Yeah, how many reallys? You know? About six reallys. That's how enthusiastic I am.
I like it.
Well, good. Well, we got a lot to talk about. We're back into, you know, from our little trip to Mexico, as you guys heard last week. So we're in the thick of it now. We're doing a ton of fitness stuff.
Actually, yeah, we are.
Well, I'm not lying.
Living the fitness. Well, I had to like think about it because I'm like, I don't really feel like I'm that fit right now, but.
Well, I would say thing I wanted to hear about, especially from you, is your yoga immersion training, which essentially started this past weekend.
Yes. So now I will say that there is a rule that they stated what happens like in the yoga studio stays in the studio.
Wow. It's like Fight Club.
It is. It's like really intense.
Yeah.
I don't want to freak anybody out, but it's really intense.
No, but this is what I was thinking. I mean, how many hours, I think in the last, pretty much the last week, the amount of hours, you think you've done more hours of yoga or slept more?
Yoga.
Now, you have trouble sleeping anyways, but it just emphasizes the fact how much yoga you do.
Yeah, no, and I can generally share like my impression of the experiences and everything. Because for anybody who's ever done like a 2 hour, or not 2 hour, 200 hour yoga class, and we got a lot of clarification. It is not a certification. It is not anything that technical. It basically, it allows you to register with the Yoga Alliance, which is like the governing body, as much as there is one. It's like a very loose, free-flowing kind of body. Yoga body.
Wow. There's a lot of rules and then not rules.
I know. It's quite a phenomenon, but so it's really not a certification.
Okay.
It's not gonna hold up in any kind of, you know, scientific court. You cannot call it therapy. Therapeutic yoga is like a totally separate thing. And granted, the amount of training you go through, you should get some kind of certification, I feel like, but you don't.
Yeah.
So after all is said and done, you get to register yourself as a 200-hour registered yoga teacher.
You wish it was 2 hours.
No, actually, I don't. Like, no. I have to say, I mean, the program that I signed up for, all the programs are different. So wherever they go, there's schools all over the place nowadays. And every school is different. They can set it up how they want as long as it's 200 hours. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people go like once a week or 3 days a week, three nights a week, and it's for 5 months. Or sometimes, you know, it's once a week, it's for like a year. Mm-hmm. Mine is one very intense weekend. So it's like Friday evening. I leave work. I go straight to class and I don't leave class until after 9. Then I go back the next morning and it's 8:30 to 6:30. And then the next day is 8:30 to 5:30. And then that immediately following Thursday, it's another 6 to 9 class.
So it's like almost 30 hours in less than a week.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they do give us like lunch breaks and stuff. We do eat and everything. But there's a lot of, you practice yoga, obviously, but it was surprisingly a lot more than I had anticipated. Mm-hmm. I thought there'd be a lot more like them teaching us yoga than doing yoga. But I guess the best way to learn is kind of to do.
Right.
And they're really exposing us to a lot of different kinds of yoga. Hmm. So we're not, this is not just like one type. It's not just vinyasa. It's not just Ashtanga. It's not just power. It's not just Bikram. There's tons of different types of yoga out there. We're going to be basically experiencing many forms and also like the meditation and we had a functional anatomy class. It's just a lot of information. So my first weekend to kind of like summarize what my thought was, it was that I was astounded at just how much I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And like the little tiny bit, I mean, I've been practicing yoga off and on. I was probably the only person in the room that had this many years. Granted, some of these women like are really intensely practicing yoga, which I have not been. But I've been practicing off and on for 21 years. Like, oh my God, I feel old. I didn't have enough fingers to hold up when they said, show you how many years you've done. I was like, oh I can't. But it's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, yeah. There's so much, and there's so much history to it. We had history lessons. We did so much, and we also learn how to be teachers. And being a yoga teacher is not as easy as you think. There's a lot of different variables you have to know about. There's lighting, there's smells, there's temperature. They fluctuate possibly during the class. There's all these different cues that you don't think of while you're sitting there listening to a class necessarily, but that makes a really good teacher. So that's just the tip of the iceberg that I got to this weekend.
Wow.
And now I will repeat this for the next 7 additional months.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I think you misspoke, though, but I'll let it slide. I know what? You said just the women were in the class. I know you failed to mention all the men that were in there.
No. There's no men's.
No men's.
There's no men's. There are men's that do this class. They're just in this particular one, this particular year, there wasn't.
And you have about 30 participants?
Yep. Which is a good size class. And everyone is wonderful. The teachers that we've had so far have been fabulous. I mean, really eye-opening.
It's interesting that no men coming forward to, you know, to take class. I guess it's, you know, I mean, I probably, if I had to guess the demographic, it'd probably be of the teachers I've had, yoga teachers I've had, be more women than men, obviously.
Yeah, it's a lower, I think, percentage of men, especially probably in, like, the United States.
Yeah.
I think there's more women than there are men. But in other areas of the world, I think you'd find a very different makeup.
Right. I know kind of I keep hearing him spoke about in the news a lot is the founder of, I guess it was Bikram. He claims to be the founder of Bikram and how he's in a little bit of hot water with some.
That's ironic.
Yeah, that is ironic. He's, you know, a little bit, I would say, sexual harassment charges, possibly.
What's kind of funny is that there have actually been a lot of different forms that I've already learned about where, like, the creator or whatnot was, like, discredited at some point. Uh-huh. And, you know, other people kind of had to take up their teachings and continue it. So that doesn't really surprise me. I think also people may forget that even people that create yoga and things that are, you know, have a spiritual and like a deep history and everything, they're they're human.
Right.
Like they're gonna F up.
Yeah. I can't I don't remember the guy's name, but I'm pretty sure it was he claimed to be the founder of Bikram. So
yeah.
But you know, like you said, it's once you have some sort of you're kind of the founder and you get a lot of notoriety, it kind of sometimes you get in a elevated sense of ego that can make you make some poor choices.
Yeah. And I think that the kind of the most interesting thing is that where yoga was, which dates all the way back to Hinduism and before Hinduism, like we're talking like first written forms, there have been a lot of aspects that people just don't understand, and a lot of types and different forms. So, I mean, there's some teachers that are very handsy, you know. Geez.
All like, I think about is the guy from Couples.
No, was it no Couples Boom. Retreat? No Boom. Boom.
Yeah,
Boom. That guy. That is not what they teach you in class. No, but I mean, I could see also that it's a physical form. People could probably get carried away. I don't know.
It sounds like the way you talk about it and the stuff you tell me, it sounds like it's very all inclusive, and you're getting a lot out of it. So
yeah, I mean, some of the teachers, just to give you some perspective, some of the teachers I'm learning from are 500-hour teachers. 500.
Now, does that include every class they teach or just like these type of courses?
You know, I'm not really sure. Right. I think you get credit for the classes you teach. But you do have, like, in order to stay registered, I think you do have to do a certain amount of continuing education.
Right.
And sure. Things like that. Anyways. Yeah. And I mean, it's across a number of things. Like there's nutrition, there's meditation, there's, you know, all the different like physical studies and things, the history. So that's actually a question I've kind of wondered too, that I need to get to the bottom of, but.
Well, you got 7 more months, so I'm sure you'll find out in the next 7 months. So,
yeah.
But in addition to the yoga immersion, which was kind of last weekend, this weekend, we had another full fitness weekend. Weekend full of fitness is what I should have said.
Yeah, or a fitness full weekend.
Yes, either way. Yesterday we did the Gasparilla 5K, which is a big race here. Well, not just a 5K, but it's like a big weekend of different type of races, distance races here in Tampa, Florida.
I think it's like one of the biggest.
Well, you said it was the 40th anniversary, correct?
Of the 5K run.
Oh, of the 5K, okay.
And I know that there have been like certain, the newspaper did a whole story about how some of the runners, I think in the half marathon, because that one hasn't been going as long, I don't think. That one, actually, there are people that when they started it 15 years or 20 years ago or something, that have run it every single year.
Really? Wow.
And still did this year.
Well, it's probably like more.
There's thousands.
It's almost a 3-day event because there's a big fitness health expo attached to it too, which you got the privilege of working. And but then we ran in the 5K on Saturday.
It was beautiful out.
Great course. It's right on a nice scenic strip here in downtown Tampa called Bayshore, and it's really nice. And I ran the half marathon a few years ago, and then this year Shannon and I and a couple of the ETT members, Adrian and Darian, ran the 5K.
Or should we call Darian Ashley?
Yeah, I guess so.
He was running as Ashley.
Yeah. But everybody had a great time. It was an awesome event, and I'm looking forward to the next kind of group event that we can sign up for. I'm actually got my eyes on one. I don't know. I've done it before. A stair climb. There's one coming to Tampa in May. I've been seeing on Instagram. It's like tunnel to tower climb or something like that. But I was looking at it today. It's like 40-some stories.
That's very ambitious.
Yeah. I've done one before. I did one in Colorado, which I think was about 50-some stories. So, and it was, I like it. I like the challenge. So maybe there's something.
You might be on your own.
I might be on my own. Okay. Because I think there's a 5K and a stair climb associated with it. So I'll do a little bit more research, and because it's a good like fundraising event too.
Yeah, so I just can't even imagine. It's not even the going up that like has my thought.
You take an elevator down. Yeah, they don't force you to go down the same steps. At least I hope not.
I just would not want to injure my knees.
Yeah,
my knees are like, and so many people's knees are super sensitive. That's kind of a tricky competition.
Yeah, there's a lot of pounding on that, especially going up in steps and everything. But it's something I'm interested in. Maybe I'll take a little bit more look at it.
Yeah, take a deeper dive.
Investigate it and let you guys know if I'm signing up for it or not.
Ooh, and if anybody's done one, please tell us how you did. Because Nick's done one, but, I mean, he's a little bit like addicted to these things.
Yeah.
And he's, I'm a little crazy. Normal.
So
he's a little crazy. So if anybody out there has done one and really liked it, and especially if you have like knee issues, maybe it's all in my head. Maybe I'm just making up this fear.
We were actually talking about the knee issues today because we did a Facebook Live workout today.
Yeah.
And we had a client, or actually Adrian, the one who ran the 5K with us, she asked us while we were working out in the live comment section about one of the exercises. We were doing lunges.
Yeah.
And she said if this is a
super good question.
Yeah, if it's appropriate for somebody with knee injuries. And I didn't have a lot, it was kind of hard while I was working out to comment on it. But I think what I looked at afterwards, I went back and kind of researched it, is that exercises like squats, lunges, and any type of jumping exercises really puts a lot of pressure on the joint.
Yep.
You know, if you imagine anybody who's done a lunge before, you're really pressing all your weight almost towards that knee, that lead knee that's going forward, or the knee that's in front. So that's putting a lot of pressure on it, and especially depending on if your knee is sore, if it's injured, you know, maybe you have some patella issues or things like that. You really got to take it easy on those, or maybe try to substitute different exercises.
Yeah.
So what I did a little research, and I found I actually went to a source that I know is very trustworthy and very qualified. His name is Mike Boyle. Body by Boyle is a kind of, I guess, his system, or strengthcoaching.com. I might have got those wrong, but I'll make sure I clean it up in the notes and get the right ones in the notes. But I've heard him speak before, and he's qualified. He's worked with professional athletes and everyone in between, so he's really qualified. And he focuses on doing functional movements that make sure are more focused on you being mobile longer, being mobile longer into your later parts of life. So he gave some exercises like laying down, like prone or laying on your stomach, leg curls, using the Bosu ball, doing some bridges with the Bosu ball, calf raises are a good one too, or even type of what people would think as almost stretching exercises, like elevating your foot on like a chair or a table and then reaching for that foot.
Stretching.
Yeah, exactly. So everybody just thinks, oh, they're just stretches. Well, they're actually exercises too, because you're working using that muscle.
You build up quite a sweat.
So it's good to kind of research. Those are the type of exercises you want to use if you have any knee problems. You know, the lunges and the squats, they're good, but, they could cause more harm than good.
Yeah, and I think it's good. I know you said in the workout, obviously, if you have a knee injury or you have soreness in your knee, go and get it checked out, especially if it's something that's either reoccurring, therefore it like continues to come back and then get better and then come back and then get better. Or if it's constant, definitely, don't wait too long before you go and get it checked out, because knee injuries are unbelievably common, horribly common. They're like one of the most common injuries that people have these days. And if you don't at least know what you're working with, you don't have anywhere to start.
Right.
And I will say that not all doctors are 100% on their game when they tell you, because you have torn up cartilage in your knee because you played sports, God forbid, in high school or college or whatever, that you really shouldn't do anything that puts pressure on your knees. You should never jump again. You should never hike again. Mm-hmm. You should never squat again. And I have one thing to say to them. They can take a freaking hike, because they diagnosed I had like a sports doctor look at my knee, and he said that I shouldn't do any of those things ever again. But one of the things that I found was that strengthening the muscles around the knee,
yep,
because of what my injury was, mm-hmm, yes, I needed to keep it in mind and be cognizant of what I was working with, which is kind of my point. Mm-hmm. But also know your body and know what you're capable of. You know, like, don't give up forever that you're never going to be able to do activity again. Find the things you are. That's why I discovered spinning. That's mm-hmm where my, like, that's where it all stemmed from, because I didn't want to beat it up running.
Right.
I can't run consistently, but if you know your injury and you know your body, you will be able to find things like what Nick is saying. You're going to find exercises that work for you.
Right.
Know what you're working with.
Yeah. And that, like you said, strengthening the muscles around the yeah knee is, you know, huge. The calf, the glute, huge, the hamstring. That's, you know, those are big, you know, because that'll help, you know, support the knee.
The same thing for yep old nerve lower damage, back, yep, nerve shoulders, damage, shoulders. I mean, I told in my yoga training, we had our anatomy discussion. They said, who here has an injury? Every single person raised their hand. And when it came around to me, she laughed because she's like, oh my gosh. Like, she's like, I can only imagine. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like so many people in life are going to have some aspect of nerve damage. And again, I was diagnosed with like a medium to severe case. Doctor said I had to do all these things, you know, make sure I wasn't holding my arm in certain conditions. And I found that strengthening my arm and really mm-hmm focusing in on form, that was what helped it get right better. If I stop, it gets horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I think too, you know, getting an initial diagnosis and then maybe following up with like a physical therapist is big.
Yes.
Because physical therapists can give you those exercises, so give you options helpful instead of just not doing anything.
Yeah.
Resting is important, but obviously, like you mentioned, someone like you who doesn't just want to give up on those type of activities, you need to know what your other options are. So if somebody like a physical therapist can do that. There's also like medical yep exercise specialists yeah that are kind of like the almost the, you know, the next person between like personal trainers, physical therapists, and then there in between there's like a medical exercise specialist too. They help deal with
that. Was the person that taught me anatomy in my right class.
Yeah, they're the kind of the individuals that can help with give you, you know, transition you to like more like a personal trainer too. Mm-hmm. But they're really good trainers also. So those are kind of some of the you know people you can see if you have a knee injury or something like that. So yeah, don't give up. You know, don't think yeah it's the end of the you know your exercising days. But you need to get a professional's opinion, and then you know find one that you know can give you the options you need to keep exercising, but just protect you.
Yeah, at the end of the day, getting diagnosed with you know an injury or you know some kind of permanent disability in some way. I mean, that's really what mm-hmm what some of these injuries are. It is not going to mean that you're never going to work out again. It means you just need to talk to some people that know what they're talking about and then start finding things that you can do.
Right.
Because there's a lot of things out there. I mean, yoga, for example. A lot of people go to yoga, yep, as I'm learning, as a last resort. They are just at the end and they're just fed up with everything, and they're trying it because they don't think they can do anything else. Mm-hmm. And they said that a lot in that first week, and they said be aware of a lot of people. This is it for them. They're yeah coming in and they've got issues. I think a lot of people look at fitness, you know, they get to that point. Don't be sad, don't give up.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's almost like a good segue, because I actually met with, I attained a new client this week, and it's really going to be kind of my biggest, it's my biggest, you know, responsibility You know, obviously having personal training clients is a responsibility in itself, and I take it very seriously.
Professionally, it's kind of your biggest challenge.
Big challenge. That's a great word. That's probably the word I was looking for. Thank you for being here.
I am Michael Thoris.
Yes, you're a ruler for Thoris. Anyways, so yes, it's going to be my biggest challenge because, you know, I've had some people come in with some pre-existing conditions, which, you know, we've been able to work around and things like that. But this person is, like you said, they're hiring me as a personal trainer kind of almost as, I wouldn't say a last result, but to really to try to reverse some of the negative health effects or negative health conditions that this person has. So it's a challenge. It's my biggest challenge, but it's also, it's kind of almost invigorating. You know, it's inspiring to the fact that this person's kind of counting on me to come through for them. So it's been good. You know, it's helped me to get a little bit more focused. And, you know, this is going to be both training or, you know, exercise and a nutrition client too. So, you know, I can't prescribe any meals or anything like that. I'm not qualified to do that. But, you know, I'm a student of nutrition. I have some, you know, taken some nutrition classes. So I'm going to help this person start making some right nutrition choices to help them lose weight and hopefully kind of mitigate some of the chronic conditions they have.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I'm really excited to start that. You know, this is essentially, once you guys hear this, it'll probably be the week. This will be the week that ETT goes full time. So. You know, if you guys weren't sick of us already,
we're just, you wait.
Yeah, we might be coming out with 2 podcasts a week.
Stop it.
Okay. So that was a little bit, you know, presumptuous. We do have some good podcasts, I think, coming down the pike for you guys.
Yeah.
I say that all the time, but I've been talking to some people for some new interview podcasts. One person that is the host of their own YouTube cooking show.
That's
so
fun.
I am just trying to schedule a time to speak with her, and I'm going to go reach out to another author that I touched base who wrote an interesting book about stress therapy and kind of the effect that, you know, subjecting yourself to kind of stressful conditions can have, some type of productive effects it can have on your body. So I'm going to reach out to him. Hopefully I can talk to him, and who knows what else we're going to get into.
I know it's kind of a gamble. I mean, these are well executed podcasts, and you guys may never know, but there's a little bit of shooting from the hip every once in a while.
How dare you?
It's not all pre-scripted, yeah, I tell you. I'm just pulling back the curtain here.
So, you know, just to kind of hit on that point a little bit more, if you got some ideas that you'd like us to investigate while on the podcast, we'd love to hear it.
Well, I know that one of our friends, Katie, has a specific topic that we we have not forgotten about you, Katie.
Yes.
We are actually looking into the most appropriate sources for that and hope to get something on the books here in the near future.
Yes, that's also something we're looking into. But we're always looking for ideas, fun ways to make the podcast more interesting and engaging, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, we went to Mexico for you guys. I don't know which more to do want.
International status.
I know, status. And Desiree, if you're listening, that one was for you.
There we go. All right, guys. I think that's all we got for this week. You got anything else for them?
I think that's it.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks. Test, test, test. Test, test, test. Test your booty.
Test your booty. How do you want to test a booty?
Whoa.